What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
All right, it's another episode of What the Fuck. As always, I am here. And as always, Double D's of Justice is here.
You sounded so hipster, as always.
I was trying to sound like rich snobby, not hipster.
That's like kind of Brad's hipster voice. He'll be like, oh, I'm going to go watch Daria. And I'm like, I like Daria. Fuck you. That was my high school. God damn it.
So you can tell Jillian's in a pretty decent mood. Now, before we actually get into Jillian's topics, and they're Jillian, so I'll let her take them in a moment.
That one is yours.
But we're going to be getting into yours next.
We'll get into it. We'll get into it so hard.
Exactly. Do need to give a quick update on the Jackalope situation. As we mentioned last week in Heart Attack, basically Todd got raped by this new hosting company, and Jackalope is looking for a new home to host its shows.
We're a homeless.
So basically, Jackalope is a victim of its own success. Nobody wants to host us because we get so many hits. And we get so many hits because we've got so many good shows because people used to host us. It's kind of a circle jerk. And so everything's kind of up in the air. We will do what we can to get you guys the archives. Best way to listen to the shows at this point, at its scheduled time, because they will still be airing at their scheduled time. So we're still going to make new episodes. Jillian's still going to be ranting about video games. Wow. Everything's going to be normal.
Thank you guys for listening, because we wouldn't have this problem if you weren't such avid listeners. And I'm not being sarcastic when I say that. Like, it's kind of, it sucks, the situation, but it's also awesome that so many people are listening. So
I just wish we weren't so awesome that we kept crashing the server. God damn it.
That's impossible for us not to be awesome.
We also want to mention the Facebook page for What the Fuck. I know there are way more listeners out there that have signed up on the page.
So I worked so hard, you guys. And if you are currently a avid follower on Facebook and have already liked the page, with everything going on, it hasn't really been updated that often, but trying to get back into the swing of things. So, you know, we don't get to update it all that much, but we want you guys, like, if something really pisses you off or you think it's a good story, we do look at the suggestions that you post. I mean, obviously we can't cover everything, but we do go back into the story. So by all means, you know, like the page, spread the word, and, you know, just share. I mean, even if it's not a story and you're like, hey, did you hear about this? This is, you know, I know you're a big gamer or what have you. It pisses me off. Like, post it. Not going to hurt anything by not posting, you know?
Absolutely. And now this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Is actually going to lead into the second topic, or the first real topic we're going to talk about. Jillian, these are yours, so have at it.
Yes, and if you've been following my Facebook, you already know what I'm going to talk about right now. And, you know, a lot of you had some good replies because I posted both on the What the Fuck page, so you guys are missing out if you don't like the page, as well as mine. But we'll get to that in just a moment. So dumbest thing segues in. Basically, and this is really trivial, but it's still... Nintendo Wii U is re-releasing Wind Waker. Wind Waker came out for the GameCube, so it was three console games ago, you know, not counting the DS and what have you. And to me, it's a waste. I know they've announced that they're doing an actual brand new Zelda game down the line, but Wind Waker, like, the charm was that it was cel shading. It didn't need to be perfectly smooth. And honestly, I looked at the screenshot. It's not that huge of a difference. And then if you go to pages, they'll be like, oh, contrast here and there. They're not even the same screenshots. It's kind of like they know it's not that big of a difference. I kind of get it, because Wind Waker kind of became a cult classic to Zelda fans. When it first came out, everybody was expecting that, you know, it was going to be an upgrade of Ocarina from N64, and people were pissed. I loved it. I bought it when it first came out, and I still have it. If you go to eBay and things, like, this game sells for $200 plus. Sometimes you can get one around like 60, 30, what have you. So I kind of get it that they're like, oh, okay, you know, this people actually want to get a hold of it. Let's re-release it and we'll clean it up. But Wind Waker of all games, and it's like, that's it's cel shading. You know, there's not a whole lot that needs to be done with that. It's like, re-release, take the Oracle games, you know, Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons, something from a handheld system, and convert it into console. And they redid Ocarina for the 3DS, and they cleaned it up. And I mean, yeah, I have it, but it's for the handheld purpose, not because they cleaned it up. a lot of people say that Majora's Mask is their favorite Zelda game. So I'm kind of surprised that maybe they're not taking something from, oh, I don't know, an older system and revamping it versus something with just such slight changes. And it's just so insane because, you know, I looked at the comparison pictures. It's not that huge of a difference. And they weren't even showing the same pictures for comparison, probably maybe out of that fear. I don't know. But I'm sorry. I think it's ridiculous. Either instead of revamping that, spend the time and make the new game faster, or take something that didn't come out for console and make it pretty for the console.
Don't you think maybe they're doing this as more of a placeholder kind of thing? The way that Resident Evil Dead Aim was released when they got a little bit behind on Code Veronica, just to have something out while they're still working on the new one? Do you think it's acting as more of just a placeholder?
But again, if you're going to revamp a game, like, why do, you know, 3 games ago, if you're just looking at the console, you know, you could take Majora's Mask or something, and probably because it's easier. But in that aspect, it's kind of weird because Nintendo was always known for Super Mario. And you don't see a whole lot of hubbub about the Mario games anymore. And it's turned, like, really trite. And I know they've got a new one out where the person, like, there's a fourth person and you just play from the tablet and you're drawing fucking platforms for the other players. I'd be like, fuck you. There's your platform. You can't reach it. I'm done if you're going to stick me as platform person. So it's just really odd. And I mean, I love it. I love Zelda. So fine, you know, give me the Zelda games. And maybe it's because I own Wind Waker, which I, in fact, was playing earlier today. I don't know. Maybe because it's so rare nowadays and goes for so much money. They're like, oh, hey, let's release this for $60 on the new system while we work on the other Zelda. So I don't know, but I just wish they would have taken something that could actually benefit from revamping, or something that was on a handheld system, and convert it to console, you know, versus something that came out 3 games ago.
Well, speaking of new consoles, I believe you have a rant prepared for Microsoft.
So much ranting. I'm going to be tired and take a nap after the show. Already.
You better be there for my segment in segment 3. That's my topic.
Oh, wait, what'd you say? The new system for Xbox. And I'm sure everybody out there knows Microsoft and Sony, you know, come out about the same time. They're always competing. Sony is going to have the edge over Microsoft if they do not follow suit on this. Xbox has decided that, number one, they're going to require internet connection in order for you to play any games. It's unclear from the articles whether it's Xbox Gold or just Xbox Live. If it's Xbox Gold, you have to pay extra money just to have Xbox Gold. So it's kind of like, if they implement that, you'll be paying monthly fees just to use your fucking system. I mean, you got to take into consideration that there are some areas that do not have internet access. And I'm not just talking about people that can't afford internet or what have you.
No. There are people that live out in the country.
Yeah.
There are people. My uncle, I think, still is on dial-up because he cannot. There is no broadband service out by him. Dial-up's all he can get in 2013. Not everyone has internet access for their fucking Xbox, and you shouldn't need it to play
a
game.
Right, you're playing a one-player game. It's not like you're, oh, this is an MMO and I have to have internet connection. And the thing is, I mean, that's the first thing people say is like, well, if you can't afford internet, then you shouldn't be buying a system. That's not the issue.
Those people are fucking idiots then.
I know. It's like, geez, guys, gamers, stick together. Come on. But aside from that, perhaps the bigger issue, which in my opinion is no secondhand games, you guys. They're basically going to implement kind of a registration code like you have for PC games, where you put your game in and you use the code that's given in the game, and that ties it to your system, which also means no rentals, no borrowing a game from your friend to check it out. Basically, one-time use, and the game belongs on that system. And this runs into so many problems because we all know about the Red Ring of Death that happened on the Xboxes. And I have been
Red Ringed myself. I have Aliens vs. Predator killed my first Xbox. And thankfully, Jillian, you're not going to believe how beautiful the timing was. If it had happened 3 days later, I would have been out of warranty.
Oh, damn.
It happened 3 days before my warranty expired because, you know, the Red Ring, they'd only they'd only fix it for free for so much time.
That's why you get the extended warranty on that shit. Game systems, that's the one thing.
Well, I bought mine.
The extended warranty. I'm like, yes.
I bought mine used. It just happened to be when they ran the serial numbers. If it had been 3 days later, I would have had to pay to get my Xbox fixed.
But yeah, and you know, there's also issues where you can get separate hard drives for the 360, and I don't know exactly how that's set up. If that's going to be the case with the new system as well, called, what is it, the Durango?
Which is just like stupid on its own.
It sounds like a car. Isn't there a car called the Durango?
It makes me think of...
Can you name the truck with four-wheel drive? Smells like a steak and seats 35. Can you narrow? Well, it goes real slow with a hammer down. It's the country fry truck endorsed by a clown. Can you narrow? Yard long, two lanes wide, 65 tons of American pride. Canyonero. Top of the line in utility sports. Unexplained fires are a matter of report. Canyonero. She blinds everybody with a super high beam. She's a squirrel squasher, deer smack a driving machine. Canyonero.
But yeah, it's codenamed Durango. So it says codename. I don't know if it's going to be like, buy the Xbox Durango. And then you can get the video game Django for your Durango. That was lame. Okay, but anyway, back on topic.
You got to remember that with this activation code thing, they've tried this in the PC world, as you already illustrated. And that pissed off a lot of people that basically you have a hard drive crash. Okay, I need to reinstall such and such game. People found out very quick that most games nowadays for PC have a maximum 3 installs and then it becomes a coaster. Somehow Microsoft seemed to think that this was a good idea, because you got to remember, and Sony is guilty of this part as well, Sony and Microsoft have been ranting for a couple of years now about how the used game market is just killing their business.
A boohoo bullshit.
Yeah, they have been looking for a long time to find a way to destroy the used game market. And I think that Microsoft, at least, believes this is what it will be. Now, the real danger here, Jay, the real danger is, I mean, obviously you, me, and all the other real gamers think this is a bullshit idea. If somehow this works, I guarantee Nintendo and Sony follow suit, and this will become the new standard. That's what worries me.
I don't think Nintendo will, because they've really prided themselves in being separate from the other systems. You know, that's why they haven't gone to playing DVDs, Blu-rays. They're like, we are a gaming company. You know, they're very family oriented. So I don't know. I don't think Nintendo's really been bitching about that fact. It's mostly been Sony and Microsoft. But the thing is here, their thinking is that, oh, well, you should, you know, buy a game and we're losing money. It's like, no, you aren't. If someone resells a game, somebody already bought it. That's like me having a game being, this sucks. Hey, you know, random friend, do you want to like give me $20 for this game? Sure. You didn't lose a sale. I still purchased the game and you got your money. And this belief of, oh, well, if used games weren't available, then everybody would pay $60 for every game. That's bullshit. There's been several games where I'm like, I am not fucking paying $60 for that. I go to GameStop and it's like $10-$15 down the line. I'm like, yeah, okay, pay, you know, $15.
Jillian, when
that.
It comes to me, it's got to be something I want hardcore, like Mass Effect 3, despite
or
how much
Zelda.
It pissed me off, Zelda for you, or just coming up next week, Aliens Colonial Marines, because you know how big of an Aliens universe fan I am. So yeah, that I will buy first run. Most games, I wait till like Halo Reach, and you know I'm a Halo fan.
Mario Kart.
I waited till that hit the $30 bin.
And here's the thing, Sony, if they're smart, they've got the upper hand. You know, they come out kind of hand in hand. The majority of games being released for either Xbox or PlayStation are usually cross-platform. And you, of course, have your certain staple games that are only available on Xbox and only available on PlayStation.
The Halo franchise, God's
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts for Sony, you know. So aside from those, you know, if you've got a diehard fan that's just like, no, I fucking love Halo. I don't care. I'm buying the system. Fine. You know, that's your sale. But as kind of an eclectic gamer, I would go with the one that's not going to have those limitations. And I mean, as many problems as I have with the whole Wii U thing, and I'm, of course, waiting until they kind of get shit together and see how that goes, I'll buy one when the new Zelda comes out. Like, if the Wii U's are not available at that time, like, kind of on shortage, I will still buy the game and fucking wait to get a hold of the system, because that's how hardcore I am about Zelda. So, I mean, you will have people
that's
like
how,
that
that's how I am
who are
about,
crazy like me. With
that's
other
how
games.
I am with the Alien franchise. I bought Aliens on Laserdisc a year before I had a Laserdisc player.
Right. So, you know, there's that middle ground there of us obsessive crazies. Aside from that, you know, if you're a parent, and that's another thing. Okay, you've got families, and obviously with the economy the way it is, this isn't the case everywhere. But if you've got 3 or 4 kids, and I mean, you have the money to do so, let's say you've got a 17-year-old and then you've got, you know, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. Well, the 17-year-old is in his room playing Call of Duty, what have you. There may be another Xbox in the living room for the other two to play, because the 17-year-old, he got it for his birthday, or he just wants his own, you know? You don't want to have to wait for your little brothers and sisters, what have you, to finish. I mean, it's just kind of age difference thing. So you've got cases where you're going to have to buy 2 separate games if all 3, you know, to play it on both systems. And that's just stupid. And again, you know, cutting out the rental, I know a lot of people that will still rent games. And Gamefly, you have fun with that, Gamefly, making fun of GameStop about the whole, you know, thing like that. And I've ranted about the Gamefly commercials hating on GameStop, so I won't go back into that. But it's kind of like, hey, Gamefly, you're going to be fucked on the new systems if this happens, because, you know, once it's registered, it's basically dead to any other system. So, yeah, I mean, if your system breaks, how are they going to handle that? I mean, do you have to call Microsoft and be like, hey, I need a new registration code. This was my old one. And then, you know, then you're going to... it's so ridiculous. And they're not losing money. I mean, look at this shit. It's not like, oh, we might have to go the way of Twinkies and we're not going to be able, you know, like, Hostess to not afford shit. It's like, no, you guys are fine. And they're not losing money. You know, the original sale was made. And by doing this, they're going to hurt their business.
Jillian, we need to illustrate what their point is. They think that the used game market cheating them out of money. Now, this, I do not think this math holds water, and I know you don't either, but this is their logic. We sell Call of Duty Black Ops 2 for $60. Now,
that's funny. There's an ad on my computer of the article that's Black Ops 2. Sorry.
I'm just using that as an example. They sell one copy of that. Now, the person that bought that goes and sells that to GameStop. Somebody buys that copy from GameStop. That person plays it. Now, GameStop got all the money. Microsoft did not. Now, that person goes and resells that game back to GameStop. Another person goes and buys that. To Microsoft's business logic, that's 2 people that played Black Ops 2 and got to buy Black Ops 2 that paid GameStop instead of them. Their logic is these people were people that would have bought it from us if GameStop was not there as an intermediary. It's bullshit logic, but that's why they think the used game market is hurting them. They see it as not more people playing the game and future customers for new games. They see it as immediate lost sales.
I feel like I'm in debate class or something, and you're taking the side of the corporations, which, I mean, I know you're not, but just for argument's sake.
I just
like,
need to illustrate why
oh, no.
why they are so full of shit and why that logic does not hold water.
It's like, essentially, then they're against rentals. And, I mean, unless you're going
They've
to lower the cost of your
time.
Games,
yeah.
Unless you're going to lower the cost significantly of how much games cost, especially mentioning the economy again, you're going to be hard-pressed to find people who are going to pay $60 for a new fucking game that's not part of the franchise already that people know is good. I mean, hell, I remember back in the days when Grand Theft Auto was really big. You know, I used to buy those like, you know, people do with Halo, or, oh, it's the new one, you buy it. You know, down the line, it was kind of like, wow, this isn't so great anymore, to where I would rent them and not like them and not buy them.
But there's another aspect here, too, and that is, it goes all the way back to something Atari tried to do with, you remember the bullshit with the non-backwards compatibility of the Atari 5200?
I remember the Atari 2600.
The 5200 was its follow-up, and they re-released...
That's the one with, like, the keypad, right? Like, the weird-ass
Yeah,
keypad.
It was the one with that horrible controller. They said, okay, everyone's already got Pac-Man and Asteroids and Burger Time and Phoenix. Well, we've got...
Pac-Man was a prototype! They didn't even fucking finish it!
So their logic was, everybody's already got these for the 2600. How do we get them to pay again? Well, the 5200 won't play your 2600 games, but we're re-releasing all the games at a discounted price. So now you can buy Space Invaders again, Phoenix again. That's what
Wind Waker.
Want here.
Wind Waker, excuse me.
Yeah, they want, what Microsoft wants is, they want, what they're going to do is, they're going to offer downloadable versions of the games at a discount. You can go buy the new Halo game, which you can only install on your one Xbox, for $60, or for $45, we'll download it directly to you. They want people to use their online service and stop using the physical service.
They already have that with downloadable content. And I mean, this isn't even a matter of backwards compatibility, which I have an issue with as well. And I was going to bring this up, and you know, if this ends up being a significant downfall that I think and hope it will be if Sony does not follow suit. If Sony says, hey, we're going to do the same thing, which if they're smart, they won't, because they're going to sell a lot more PlayStations versus Xbox if they don't.
Yeah,
go
if Sony goes
this.
The opposite way, they're going to come out of like gangbusters.
Exactly.
They're going to
what
look
I
like
foresee,
the hero of the video game industry.
What I foresee happening is some sort of patch or new system release, because they do that with every fucking system. Like with the Wii, suddenly there's different colors. The DS colors, Xbox, you've got the white, and then all of a sudden you've got the 32 gig hard drive instead of the 8 gig. So I foresee, if this is kind of their downfall, they'll be like, okay, our bad, and they're going to release either some patch, or they're going to release, you know, a new system where that's not implemented. And here's the thing with the Wii, originally you could play GameCube games. Apparently, later on down the line, they were releasing the new systems to where you could not. And I think that's bullshit. It's like
the Xbox did the same thing.
Yeah, it's like you already said it was going to be backwards compatible. And so, really, I mean, and this is where the trade-in market kind of goes in, because it's like, you know, if it's backwards compatible, oh, well, I'm going to trade in, you know, my old system to get a new system because, you know, it'll play my old games.
Yeah, because that's what Xbox did with the 360. Initially, it was backwards compatible with everything. But then as they started to gradually release new games for the virtual console or Xbox Arcade, any game that was released on Xbox Arcade for $10 or $15, they disabled its compatibility. So if Destroy All Humans, you can download it for $10, your physical copy for your regular Xbox will no longer work, because they want you to rebuy your games.
They even had ones that were never backwards compatible. I remember going to Family Video, and they would mark with stickers which ones were backwards compatible. And I had an issue with that, because I had two games where I really liked the games, but because I really needed that 360, I couldn't justify keeping my Xbox just for those two games. And it was either don't get the 360, or I had to trade in my Xbox, which, you know, whatever. It's not like I look back at those two games and like, God, I wish I had those. I don't really care. But that was kind of the choice I had to make. And of course, I've got like the retro systems. But if I see a regular Xbox out there, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I have to have that. It's like, it's not really. Microsoft also said that, you know, they're going to re-implement the Kinect, and it's going to be better because Kinect sucked ass. I had one, and then I sold it to GameStop because it was just horrible. It's kind of like, get it right first. You know, there's so many times, like, they just rush it out. It sucks. And then they come out with a new one and be like, hey, guys, we fixed it. And we did that shit, too, with the motion control. And then they came out with Wiimote Plus, where we fixed it. Sony is actually going to kind of have its own kind of Kinect-esque thing. So they're on the ball. And I think that a lot of gamers, unless they're obsessed with one particular franchise for the Xbox, are going to choose PlayStation over, you know, Microsoft. I mean, hell, Sony's already got it to where you have internet access, like you don't need to buy any kind of special membership to access, you know, their features. And that's another thing that pisses me off about Microsoft is the Xbox Gold shit. I'm just like,
I have a theory. They're probably going to wrap that into the price that, you know, you get, like when you buy a new game, you get the Xbox Live free for a week or something like that. I would see their management almost having to suggest something like that, because otherwise it just seems like they're trying to go bankrupt.
Well, if it's just Xbox Live, that's already available for free. But if they say you have to have Xbox Gold, a lot of people are going to be fucked. Like, that's certainly not on my list of priorities. You know, I haven't had Xbox Gold in I don't know how long, and it's certainly not on my list of things I need to pick up the next time I go out.
We need to wrap this up. I know Jillian's got another 40 minutes of nerd rage she wants to go
into.
But
okay, let me say this to all gamers out there. I don't know how many gamers specifically maybe listen to the show. Maybe none of you, and you're like, shut that bitch up, and let's talk about real topics. Don't give in. You know, don't buy an Xbox just because it's there and live with it. You have other options, you know, because basically they're obsessed with numbers. They're going to go by the numbers. So if you're just like, oh, well, you know, I have to get it, you know, it's kind of like we say with everything else, actions and voices speak volumes. And if they see their numbers aren't what they should be, they're going to relook at things. So if you're pissed off about this like I am, don't buy one. You know, wait and see what happens. And I know a lot of you will also maybe not buy it at first because you're like me and they, quote unquote, fix things, work out the kinks, come out with upgraded systems. So just kind of keep that in mind. And I don't know if the launch title is Halo and you have to have it. Hell, I understand because I'm like that with Zelda and Nintendo. So I will not judge you.
Hey guys, Hart D. Fisher here for Heart Attack, and Jesus Christ, have we got one crazy fucking heart attack for you guys. There is a lot of stuff going down. One, CISPA is back. That's right, that fucked up legislation that they want to make so every corporation in America can spy on us and sell off the information to the government without even asking us about it is back. Here in Los Angeles, there's an insane manhunt going on for a police officer that the news and the official story is that this guy is a cop out for revenge. Well, honestly, folks, the Supreme Court has ruled that it's legal for the police to lie to us. I don't trust the news. And frankly, this police officer was spoken of very, very highly by every single person in his neighborhood. And the weird thing is this whole thing started over. He filed an excessive force report on a fellow officer. And then his superior officers that were in charge of the investigation, well, they just decided that he was lying. That's right, they just decided he was lying. I have yet to hear any real proof explaining how he lied about a fellow officer and an excessive force report. I would say that right there is pretty an interesting thing to try to file, because that's a career ending. And then today, I'm reading about a jazz band was shot by the Los Angeles police. That's right. Their manager and the band are riding around in a van, and they're at an ARCO station, and these cops light up the van. Why? Because they heard the jazz music that this rogue cop likes. It's insane. And then Josh tells me that there were two LA Times delivery ladies that got shot by the cops that were staked out in front of another officer's house. So right now, what have we got here in Los Angeles? We got five innocent civilians shot by the Los Angeles Police Department in a quest to find a, quote, rogue killer cop. What the fuck is going on?
It's California cowboy times heart. It's ridiculous. One of the cops, no, this has not been verified, so I'm going to go on record and saying that this is just what a bystander heard. A car was asked to turn around at a roadblock. The car started to turn around, and another police officer who was not at the roadblock T-boned him and opened fire on the car, screaming, "I got him, I got him."
What the fuck?
They see somebody, they go, "This might be him, just start shooting." It's fucking insane. I mean, Torrance, you said, isn't all that close to you, Hart, but I'd feel...
It's close enough, guys.
I'd feel unsafe.
I already feel unsafe. I've already been, you know, just a couple weeks back, I was joking about getting pulled over in front of my house because I was going a little fast. Nobody said I was speeding. I didn't get a ticket or nothing, but I was going a little fast. And you know, guys, I got pulled out of my car around the block from my house at gunpoint by the LAPD, and all I had done was turn my car around in the intersection looking for a parking space to unload my groceries, and I had this happen to me. So what the fuck's going to happen now? I can't believe, guys, there's five people have been shot. Three of these people were fucking white. They're looking for a black rogue cop. They shot three white jazz players. What the fuck, are they colorblind? Jesus
Christ. The old women that were shot were both white and in their 40s and 50s. How do you mistake that? And they were not even driving the right kind of vehicle that they were looking for, Hart.
Jesus Christ. This really makes me wonder about this, quote, cover story about this rogue cop bent on revenge. And the only statement they have saying that this is his thing, he's out for revenge, is some kind of statement posted on his fucking Facebook. Well, how many of you guys have had your Facebook hacked? Because I've had my Facebook hacked, and I know a lot of other people have had their Facebook phished. How do we know that guy even made that fucking post? Because from what I see, regular citizens are in more danger from our active duty police than from this fucking rogue cop.
Hart, I think this is going to be that watershed moment that we also had in the early 90s with the LA riots and the Rodney King beating and the Rodney King verdict, where they basically cleaned house and the LAPD started fresh.
I'm going to say it. This kind of comes pretty hot on the heels of all this new interest in banning guns. And I certainly don't trust this. I don't trust the Los Angeles Police Department more after all this shit. Don't call me a fucking gun nut, but this makes me nervous and makes me want to hang on to my fucking gun.
Like I said, it's California Cowboys time. It's like
it's
the LAPD.
It's more than that, Josh. It's really more than that. This fits right in with, I don't know how many people at home are aware of, there was a New York City police officer who wore a wire on corrupt cops in New York City, and he did this for 18 months. And when he came forward and blew the whistle with all the illegal practices they were doing in New York City, they grabbed him and they hauled him out of the country and had him committed to a Jamaican insane asylum. Go read about it, guys. Go look it up. It's some scary goddamn shit. So I'm sitting here going, the last guy in New York who blew the whistle on the New York cops, who blew the whistle on all the illegal things they're doing, well, he got grabbed and thrown in a Jamaican insane asylum. How the fuck did they get this guy out of the goddamn country, let alone thrown in? I mean, Jesus, dude, it's insane. So now here we have this rogue cop, and his whole beef stems from his reporting another officer for excessive force.
You don't cross
I'm
the blue wall.
It's not just the blue wall. What I'm seeing here is a complete and utter disregard for citizens. We're recording this on a Tuesday night right now. And on Wednesday night, I'm going to be going to, it's a city council meeting here in Los Angeles. And you want to know why? I'm doing it because I live in Highland Park, and they've been doing a lot of things to change the neighborhood, and they're doing it at the cost of the citizens. And here's what they've done. We had a main drag called York, and it was a four-lane road. Without asking anyone, without doing an environment impact study, or the fact that this is an emergency lane and one of the only emergency east-west lanes in our area for fire trucks and police traffic, without asking anyone, they collapsed the road, they took out a lane on each side, and they put in a goddamn bicycle lane, and now the traffic is shit that you can't get down the street. Police cars have to drive on the opposite lane of traffic to get through it now, and I've seen fire trucks delayed trying to maneuver through the traffic. And you know what, folks? It only takes 1 minute for a baby to die from smoke inhalation. 1 minute. So those fire trucks need to be able to get through. And here's the capper on this, guys. They had the money to put in the bicycle lanes and to remove a lane on each side, creating a major traffic jam. They did not spend the money to attach. They need to attach the stoplights to the emergency system. And they said, we don't have enough money for that. Well, you had enough money for the illegal bike lanes that were put in illegally without talking to any of the citizens, and now it's driven all the traffic into my neighborhood. Now I'm seeing people on bicycles getting hit by cars more because the traffic's been driven into the neighborhood. And then I find out from a local businessman that they plan on closing the roads down in the same manner in the north-south main drag of Figueroa, and they're going to do the same thing on Colorado Boulevard between Pasadena and Eagle Rock and Highland Park. What the fuck is wrong with these idiots? And oh yeah, they also have some new real estate tricks they want to pull, where they're going to remove all the parking down in downtown Highland Park. They're going to get rid of all the parking, and they're going to instill a transit village. And this too gets to skip the environmental impact study and removes 200 parking spaces and causes the need for another 160. But they don't give a fuck about us.
Are you and going to this then tomorrow?
I'm going this tomorrow night because I want to talk about it, because they're breaking the law, guys. They're breaking the law. They're supposed to do an environment impact study. They are supposed to talk to the local businesses. And I have been meeting with local business leaders, and they have told me that between the hours of 3 and 6 p.m., their business goes in the crapper because, frankly, you can't get in or out of their business. It's all gridlocked in now because it's all single lane. And if you try to make a left-hand turn, Jesus Christ, I was trying to make a left-hand turn today, and I'm just watching car after car after car go by, and the traffic wasn't like that before. I swear to God, white people come in and they ruin it. But, you know, what I'm trying to get across to you guys is I'm believing that what we're seeing here is in every section of the government, their utter disdain for you and me. We are the taxpayers. We are being affected by their asinine laws. We are being murdered by the police in their hop, skip in a moment, crazy, gun-happy eagerness to get after some police officer that they claim is a bad guy. I haven't heard any real concrete proof other than a Facebook posting. Have you heard of any concrete proof? They say that he shot two police officers at the corner of Magnolia Avenue and Arlington Avenue in Riverside. They haven't shown me any proof. They haven't shown me a camera showing that he did it.
He is innocent until proven guilty, right? He is accused of shooting these two police officers, as you pointed out. The cops are not even trying to arrest him. Look at all
yeah.
the people that they're just opening fire on. They do not want him to see the inside of a courtroom. They
and
are
you know,
looking
guys,
to kill him.
They want to kill this guy for some reason. They're not telling us. They really are. There's something going on here we're not being told about. And it's happening again and again and again, just like with the manipulation of Obama making all this crap about AR-15s, about this crime at Sandy Hook. And then we find out he didn't use an AR-15. It has nothing to do with that crime. But you're using that crime as your excuse to do your weapons ban. See, I don't It's the manipulation that's bothering me, folks. It's the outright lies that are bothering me. The fact that the Fox News channel, because of its political contributions, is allowed to lie to us nonstop and call it news. But if you go to Canada, they're not allowed to call it Fox News. It's Fox propaganda, folks. This kind of thing is building. And this is why I feel we really have to be active in what's happening in every step of the way. This is why I'm going to go to this council meeting and I'm going to speak. And I'm going to let them know that I have a voice and that my audience is active. I'm really proud of you guys out there. There's a lot of you guys out there working with us to make a change. And I'm proud of you, folks. I'm really proud of the listeners who are part of our show, our audience. You guys are out there actually making a goddamn difference instead of just complaining and sitting on your ass. And I fucking love it. I love it. And there's just so much stuff happening. And I'm going to get to another one here, Josh. We had an issue with, we're hearing all about how some assholes are claiming they have patented podcasts. This thing is going down where they're trying to crush us, all of us. Marvel and DC claim that they own the trademark for the word superhero. They claim they've had it for 30 years. Let me tell you something about copyright law, guys. You have to have an active hold on the copyright. You actually have to have the product that's called that uses the copywritten term in the marketplace for you to hold your copyright. But these guys are ganging up and suing this poor comic book publisher claiming that they own superhero. They own the word superhero. What a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, because what's happening here, Hart, is with the patent thing, people that claim that they own the entire idea of podcasting, so anybody that podcasts, you have to get a license from them. Which, by the way, we are safe. Todd has never referred to anything on Jackalope as a podcast. We are an internet radio
station. It's not even safe, man. You know, it's a bunch of horseshit. Like, Marvel and DC do not, even if you can't trademark superhero. It's a common part of the vernacular, common part of the common English of the people. It's a regular thing. It's a regular thing that everybody uses. Then they have not held the mark. They have not enforced the mark. I personally wrote a comic book for Chaos Comics called Evil Ernie versus the Superheroes. And they didn't sue Brian. They didn't sue him. They're full of fucking shit, these people. All of them.
Tell it to George Lucas when, back in the 90s, he tried to trademark the terms droid and blaster, two terms that existed in science fiction before that man was even born.
Yeah, what the fuck is going on? This is why I'm advocating everybody get active in their governance. We got to get out there. We got to raise our voices. This bullshit has got to fucking stop. These bullying assholes, they got to go down. We got to remove them from the lawmaking process. They are dildos. It is time for us, the people, to take back our governance. And we're going to do it smart, guys. We're going to do it smart.
Jillian, I know you're going to come out totally on the opposite side of me on this, but
don't presume to be inside my brain. It's a very dangerous place to go. I'm afraid to go there sometimes as well.
Of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most. The U.S. Postal Service has decided in August they are only going to be delivering Monday through Friday. That pisses me off a lot.
Boo-hoo.
Don't boo-hoo.
I will.
No, this is ridiculous. Now, they said it's only going to affect letters and magazines, whereas packages will still be delivered on Saturday.
It'll still be packages, order prescriptions, and any priority or express mail will still be delivered.
But just like a magazine that you're subscribed to, or a letter, or a bill, or something.
Because
like
you're going to kill yourself if you don't get your fucking Hustler on Saturday.
Goddamn right! Jeez, woman!
I ran out of jerk-off material. I want this on Saturday instead of Monday. You won't even know. Dude, it's one fucking day. It's like it could have been destined to come on Monday regardless. So every time you get mail on Monday, you'd be like, damn it, you should have been here Saturday.
No, see, this is what you don't realize. Not just them delivering it to your house.
Mm-hmm.
They will no longer be working on Saturday. So say a letter would have only taken 5 days, and like you said, it was destined to be there on Monday. Well, now it would be destined to be there on Tuesday. And there
it's one fucking day. Like, seriously.
Bills or letters of importance? Yes. That day can be a big... Jillian, I get my phone bill on a paper bill. That's how I lost the internet last October, because I threw it in a drawer and forgot about it. Jillian, I have actually gotten bills the day that they're due. An extra day or two of delay caused by this not working on Saturday, that can have a big impact on people, especially people, as we've pointed out in the previous segment, people that are on dial-up, that live out in the country, that there are still people that don't have internet access.
But that's between the company and their leeway with paper statements. You know, you shouldn't be getting a fucking bill the day it's due. I would be calling the company and being like, look, you know, you can tell by the postmark day. It's like, you do have leeway on that shit. And if you're going to stick your bill in a drawer and forget about it, I'm sorry, that's not the one day issue.
I agree with that. But on the other hand, it can be. And I just think it's bullshit that, okay, first, you know me, I'm kind of a Luddite, but I get a lot of packages delivered. I subscribe to a lot of
magazines. But the packages are still going to come.
I realize that, but I also get a lot of magazines. I get people, you got to remember.
Okay, but you did say packages, so yes. Say what you mean and mean what you say, because the packages will be unaffected.
Okay, people claim that the internet and email and all that is just completely destroying the Postal Service. The Postal Service lost $15.9 billion last year.
Yeah, let's actually cover why they're doing this. They're not doing this just to give people a day off, and I'm sure a lot more people are going to be like, I'm going to work for the post office. I get Saturdays off. Sweet.
I only got to work 5 days a week.
Yeah, right? They're doing it because by doing this, they will save $2 billion a year. So, you know, if it's between completely losing postal service, if they're that bad, wait the extra fucking day. Like, would you rather never have mail? Is that what you would rather have than to get that letter one day sooner?
Look at it like this. All they're doing by doing this is applying a Band-Aid to a chest wound. Last year, they suffered $15.9 billion last year. I know how dumb this makes me sound, but is $2 billion really going to help? You know, okay, so you're only going to suffer $13.9 billion next year then?
But it's not going to be 15 every year is the thing. It's kind of like if you look at it from a debt standpoint, okay, if you've got a certain amount of debt and you keep chunking away at it, as long as you're not, you know, as long as you're taking steps to not incur more debt, then yeah, that large chunk yearly will add up and help things. So if they're in that much trouble to where like, look, we gotta cut $2 billion a year. How do we do that? Okay, well, let's take away Saturday mail. That gives us $2 billion right there, and we'll try and figure everything else out. You are basically bitching about a letter coming one day later and saying, fuck you guys, you know, you should spend that $2 billion so I can get my letter.
But you also got to look at, especially states like Alaska. One of the things that they bring up in this Huffington Post article is something that Alaska Democratic Senator Mark Begich, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Begich, said, it's bad news for Alaskans and small business owners because Alaska, all the cities are so spread out, that's going to cause more than a day or two delay. That's basically going to, it's going to have like a cascade effect.
Okay.
Something that might have arrived on Monday is now going to arrive on Friday. This will have a cascade effect.
I get it for other people, okay? I'm talking about the fact that you're pissed off about it, all right?
Maybe I'm pissed for these people as well as myself.
You're not. This is the first time in us talking about this that you're mentioning the other people, okay? And, I mean, there is the issue they did bring up that, you know, they're not sure if they can do this without congressional approval, you know, all of these other small factors, but they're planning to go ahead in August with it. But my thing is, you're mad, like, this up to this second that you just brought up Alaska and everything, what have you been doing? You've been like, well, I order my magazines and I do this and me. So you're more concerned about you than these other people, and I'm calling you out on it, and then you're like, well, no, in Alaska it's gonna take them like 5 extra days. It's like,
I'm being
not
a politician about this. Once it gets turned around on me,
well,
it's all about
you. This is what we do to politicians. You're gonna play that way, but fuck you.
I think this is just another symptom of something I have bitched about for a long time, and that is getting rid of something that, or trying to fix something that isn't really broken. I think too many people, and you and I use email and Facebook messages and all that all the time too. I think a magazine is not a magazine when you read it online.
Oh, I'm the same way. We talked about the whole technology stuff where I would rather read a physical book than read it on
right.
Kindle.
And somehow we're, and yes, Jillian, you're old in this regard. The
no.
new generation
no.
does not care. They say, I read the book.
Alone.
They say, I read the book. It doesn't matter if I read it on my Kindle or if I flipped paper pages. They go, I read the book. It doesn't matter. To you and I, yes, it matters. So there is, the generation is changing, and I don't think the new generation appreciates what the post office was, I guess in the same way that we don't appreciate what the Pony Express was.
Right, but they're trying to do this so that it doesn't go away. So you're kind of contradicting yourself, saying this is bullshit that they're not delivering on Saturday, but they're looking at it as, hey, if we don't start cutting large sums of money, we are going to go the way of Pony Express and not exist anymore.
And see,
and
I think
a lot
a straw
of people
man
would be
argument.
Okay with that.
I think that's a straw man argument, because the post office can't go away, at least as it is, because they are part of the federal government. So the federal government would basically have to bail them out the same way that they did the auto industry under Bush. So it's kind of like saying, hey, if we don't do this to cut costs, then it'll go away permanently. But that's not really a danger.
Okay.
It's a straw man.
I understand. I understand how this will affect other people. My problem is how pissed off you are about it personally for you. Kind of like the way how you came to everybody's defense the day after Thanksgiving, how people had to work in retail, blah, blah, blah. Then on a later episode, bitched about the fact that people that own their own businesses and comic stores are closed on a certain random day during the week, not catering to your needs when you go to their town and they're supposed to stay open just in case you want to go shopping at their business.
I'm complex like that.
Yeah, just no, I'm not going there. I was going to say something. I'm not saying it because we're recording. And you'll surely either keep it in or stick it on the bloopers. Not doing it. Not going to do it.
All right. On that note, where can people find Not Going to Do It?
You can find me on Facebook under my name, Jillian Zarowski, on Twitter under The Mistress J. I'm also featured here and there on thecinemasnob.com as well as occasionally on geekjuicemedia.com.
I am on the same geekjuicemedia.com. You can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And hopefully Jackalope will be back to capacity relatively soon. So good night.
Good gaming.